shaken. And I decree that our feet are planted on solid ground, that our lives are rooted into the rock, the solid rock. Glory be to God. Well, if you want, you can be seated. Glory. I just kind of undone again this morning. I'm just undone. Glory. Bless the Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your faithfulness. Glory.
Something. For about the last 2 weeks, I've been having, probably mostly due to stress and related to some other things that I'm dealing with right now, but I've been having sessions where my heart will race for 2 or 3 hours at a time, like up to 120 beats a minute. And it started a couple of weeks ago when I was at Cade's Triathlon right after my grandfather had died, and it got to the point where I couldn't walk, and I was incredibly dizzy, and it didn't go away. And it lasted for about 2 or 3 hours. I finally got home. I was able to give myself a shot, and it went down. It's happened 2 or 3 times since then, and the only way that I've been able to get it to go away, and I've waited it out for a couple of hours, but I've always had to give myself a shot. It started this morning, and I wanted to be jumping up and down and praising and worshiping, but my heart rate was 120 beats a minute, and I was grabbing a hold of the chair trying to hang on. And then I just kind of stood there calmly, and it dropped back down to about 100, and I went downstairs for a minute and then had difficulty climbing the stairs back up again. We came back in and started singing and just declaring the word's name over healing and declaring his word. My heart rate's 68 right now.
Glory. Bless the Lord. Glory be to God. Healing's the children's bread. I think we just need to feed on some of that, huh? Glory be to God. Well, I don't know what to do. Glory. Amen. Glory be to God. Yes. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. May your worship, may your praise be spread out among this city, God. God, may your kingdom come and your will be done here in Independence in the greater Kansas City area. God, we pray for every congregation that is meeting even now, God, for every denomination that calls the name of Jesus Christ and no other name to be saved. God, we ask that you would bring us together in a unifying presence, Lord God, with your presence being the dominating force, God. We so desire your presence, Lord. Every time we gather and we get together, we just want your presence, Father, to dwell with you, to be among you. Thank you, that Father, that you never leave us, nor do you forsake us. So we pray for our Baptist friends and our Methodist friends and our Lutheran friends and every denomination, Lord God. Father, even now I pray that if they are still meeting, that the presence of God would invade their meeting place, God, and the agenda of man would fall, and that you would have your way, God. May the Spirit of God blow into every house of worship, every house church, every meeting, everywhere the believers are meeting, God. And Father, may it spill out into the street, God. Glory, glory be to God. something, Lee? Amen. Good. Thank you so much. Glory. I do feel like this morning may be a time that we need to remember. Especially as we were prophetically and apostolically decreeing that we're unshakable and unstoppable with the Lord. That we need to remember that. We've seen some things in the earth, in our nation, that have caused some shaking, but it's just caused some tremors. There's some things coming that's going to be a lot more shaking. And God's got a people, he's got a remnant that are on solid ground. Because they have put themselves in a whole other kingdom. They live, operate, and function by a different kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, therefore they cannot be shaken. See, the Lord's raising up some people, and I keep hearing this word remnant, to whatever definition that may look like, that there's a remnant of people that are going to so hear and be faithful and obedient to the voice of God that when they speak, it's exactly like God just spoke. And they're going to call some things into being that did not exist before. See, God has caused us, even by creation, he's caused us to be creative. And if we're made in his image, then we are not only his creation, but we are his creation that creates. And not only just other humans. But when we're in alignment with him and we're hearing what he has to say, and that's the key. We can't just spout off what we want, what we desire. We have to hear from the Spirit of God. What is he saying? And then we say it like he's saying it, and it's going to happen. And it will be so powerful. I just got a real eye-opening thing about that. I knew this, but it was just really real to me this morning that it's going to be created. It's going to be things that never existed before. Just like when God called things out, when he said, let there be light, let there be animals. It was just, bam, it was there. He spoke it into existence. Glory be to God. But not only did he transfer us into another kingdom, but we've got to be living according to that kingdom in every area. And as I mentioned last week, Adam and Eve lived in the most perfect environment on earth, the Garden of Eden. And even in that most imperfect environment, they disobeyed God, they sinned, and it appeared Satan had victory. And then their offspring, one killed the other. And when Jesus walked the earth, he reversed not only the curse that what happened there as a result in the garden, but he reversed the garden. Let me explain. He walked in the most imperfect place. But he himself was perfect. And at the end of his life, 33 years old, where it appeared that Satan and the domain of darkness had victory, he was arrested, beaten, we know the story, and crucified to be killed, hung up above the earth, and it appeared that Satan had the victory. Is that right? Looked that way. What about some of you in your personal life? It may look that way. It may appear that way. It may look like America is going down. It may appear that way. And I'm confident it's going to look more that way here soon. But it's going to look that way. Your life may have or may look. Am I saying it enough? It may appear that way. And see, Job, he's also the reverse of the garden. As the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my bride? He's faithful and he's righteous and he's holy. And Adam and Eve had everything at their disposal in the most perfect environment, and they still sinned. And Job had everything taken away, and he remained righteous, and he remained holy before the Lord. And Job is a picture of the last day bride, that in the most imperfect environment, when there's chaos and there's turmoil, the bride is going to be unaffected. Unaffected. The bride. I didn't say the church. I said the bride. There's a difference between the bride and the church. Not all that go to church are the bride. See, you know what makes a big difference? There's several things that make a difference between a bride. But one of the big difference that make between a bride and people that go to church, the bride is making themselves ready for the marriage. That's how you can tell the difference. They're making themselves ready. See. They've got oil in their lamps. Can I read a couple things? Is that all right? You got a minute? James. Chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes when I read the Bible, I read over things. You know what I mean? And I've read that hundreds of times, I'm sure. A bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed or scattered abroad. That's who he's writing to. He's writing to Jews that were scattered from their homeland. Kicked out of their home. And not only their home, but their land. And were living elsewhere. I don't think I've really ever considered that when I was reading James. And James says, consider that all joy. My brethren,
when you encounter various trials, I've never been kicked out of my homeland. I don't even know really what that would feel like. Now, I've what was that? Am I about ready to? Now, I've faced various trials to certain degrees. But can you imagine being kicked out? You've been kicked out of your house and your land, and now you're living in a foreign land. Can you imagine the various trials you would face just in that? And James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various, all kinds of trials. I mean, when you go to talking like that, it really preaches good in church situations. Preaches good. Knowing that the testing of your faith is producing something. It's producing something. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you what happens with me a lot. Just confession time. Depending on the degree of trial will be on the depending on how I react. And especially if there's more than one going on at the same time. And I may have said something like this once before, a long, 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 long time ago. Why does this keep happening? Why? Okay, now it got quiet. Have you ever had a trial or something, and all of a sudden your focus is the trial? Why me? Why does this keep happening? Why? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing endurance or perseverance. It's producing character, Christ-like character. I don't know if I can quote this exactly right, but I think I'll get it close enough that you'll understand which scripture I'm talking about. But Jesus said that he looked beyond the cross. See, what happens a lot of times is we focus on the problem, and all of a sudden that problem's so big and it begins to swallow. And we don't have the foresight sometimes, even though God's given it to us, to look beyond that for what it's doing in our life. Now, God doesn't cause everything to happen in our life. We understand that, right? God's will does not always get accomplished. We need to understand that. I mean, sometimes we'll say, well, if it's God's will, it'll just work out. Not necessarily. We have a lot to say about the will of God in our own life. So the Jews are kicked out of their land, their houses, their land. They're living in foreign lands, and he's writing a letter saying, consider it all joy when you're facing all kinds of various problems and trials. Because your faith is being tested. I think it's Hebrews. It might be Romans. You can tell I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here, right? You can probably tell that. That it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Faith is not real faith until it's tested. And some of you, God has spoken some things to, maybe even a long time ago, and you still haven't seen it manifest. Anybody? I'm going to raise my hand. I love this scripture. It's this is Romans chapter 4, I believe. Because Abraham really is our example of faith. He's our father of faith, the Bible says. So how he responded to faith and what he did, that's an example to us. And I love this part. It says, and I believe it's Romans chapter 4, where it says Abraham contemplated his own body. I'm old. In the natural, what God has promised is impossible. That's contemplating his own body. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. In the natural, her womb cannot produce a child. Did you know this was in the Bible? He contemplated his body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. However, in respect to the promise of God, he believed. Faith is not denying reality and truth. Faith is believing that God is not hindered by reality or natural laws. If God said it, then it will come to pass. It will happen. Hey, Matt, since you're back, would you do me a favor? Would you grab that white book on the table or the chair next to Renee, and could you bring it up here? Thank you very much. That's my new book, by the way. But I didn't ask him to do that just to bring this up. Because what Matt just demonstrated was faith. That's how simple it is. If I were God and I said, Matt, would you grab that book and bring it up here? Faith is hearing and recognizing it's the voice of God and then responding. It's that simple. It's believing what God said with corresponding action. That's why Abraham, when God said, change your name from Abram to Abraham, he really said, go around now and start calling yourself the father of many nations, even though you don't have a child yet. Now, if God didn't say it, and he just said, hey, I'm going to start doing it, that's presumption. That's not faith. It's just weirdness. See, we can't just go around calling things and doing and believing things that we want to believe and call unless God said it. See, when God says it, then we can say what he said. And we can have what he said. 20 years ago, oh man, that's been a long time. I shut my business down. I had a motorcycle. I had several motorcycles, but I left myself with one. Make a long story short, many of you already know it. It was stolen, and it went back to the police. I didn't steal it. And it left me without a motorcycle, and I haven't had one for 20 years. I asked God for a motorcycle. I've asked God several times in the 20 years for a motorcycle. I don't have a motorcycle. There was a time, maybe we can talk about it in front of all of you, that Renee said that I could go get one. I know, she did say that. She really did say that. She really did. She said I could, but no, it was like, if you want one, go ahead and get it. It's one reason why I stay out of motorcycle shops, because. But my point is, we can ask God for whatever we want to ask God for. But in the 20 years, I've never one time heard the Lord say, I'm going to give you a motorcycle. Or, I want you to have a motorcycle. As a matter of fact, the Lord has not talked to me about motorcycles hardly at all. Since then, So for me to just say, well, I'm just believing for a motorcycle would be presumptuous. Because God never told me he was going to give me a motorcycle. And I can't believe God for something he never said. But if he said it, then I can decree it. And I'll receive it. See? Faith is very simple. Faith is just hearing what God says and responding to what God says. And when we're going through various trials, man, James, the book of James is so good. Actually, from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22, it's just really good. But when we're facing various trials, our faith gets tempted or tested, doesn't it? Especially when time goes by. Time. And it appears. It appears like nothing's getting better. Have you ever had it before where it appears like things are getting worse? That's why the Bible says we don't go by what we see. There's sometimes you have to not go by what you're hearing out here. See, we've got to go by what Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Two places in the New Testament says the righteous one shall live by faith. Faith is simply trusting, but it's trusting God. Not putting faith or trusting our own decrees, our own life, our own works. It's trusting God. That whatever God says, he's faithful and he will do it. Here's another thing about God, and I know you know this. Sometimes he never tells you when he's going to do it. He just says he's going to do it. And we keep moving and we keep doing and we keep saying what we know he's already told us to do and allow him to work all those details out. We just keep moving. I just decree over you a new level of faith and trust in God. And trust always comes from love. God is love. And because he's love and he has given his love. See, it just needs to be received. Somebody needs to receive it today. It's not worked for, it's received. In John chapter 1, it says, all those who have received him, he's given the right to be children of God. We just have to receive. Sometimes it's very... See, when Matt brought up the book, all I did was receive it from his hand. I just receive it. God, I pray now that you would quicken by the Spirit of God those now that need to receive your love this morning. And we know, Father God, that love, because of that love relationship with you, that we can enter into a trust relationship with you. That we can trust you, Father. We can trust you with our lives, with our thoughts, with our emotions, with our feelings, with our heart. We can trust you with our finances. We can trust you, Father, with those who have done evil towards us, God. We can trust you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you for meeting with us today, God. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sticking closer than a brother, for never leaving us nor forsaking us. God, above all else, even when we gather, our heart's desire is just your presence, just to be with you and allow you to have your way among us and in us. Thank you for bringing healing to hearts and restoration. God, thank you for restoring all that has been stolen from Sandy. And thank you for restoring those things that she didn't even know belonged to her, God. And I just decree that over each and every one. That's a good word for everyone. That everything that may have been stolen from you, and there are things that belong to you, for the Lord says there's an inheritance that belongs to you that he's calling you to tap into. See, learn what belongs to you, your inheritance, for the safe has already been open. Just receive it and walk in it.
glory.
See, Crystal, see, healing belongs to her. Like healing belongs to all of you. And she just received it. She just received what already belongs to her. So we make this too difficult sometimes. We just receive what belongs to you. Glory be to God. Amen. Bless you. Did you have something?
That's simple. It's simple.
I'm glad that it's simple because I'm not really, really smart. Yes. Yeah.
I was contemplating saying it before you spoke, but it didn't seem like it fit. But it seems like things fit together. This week I've been studying Man Does Not Live by Bread Alone. In Deuteronomy 18:16, it's God said, I brought you into the wilderness and I fed you with manna, which you didn't know, so that you might know man doesn't live by bread alone. So God leads us into what looks like a wilderness, a place of affliction. God brings us into a place of want. And then we're asking, what is this? Why is this? Where am I? And yet he gives the very answer, so that you might know. Know what? Man doesn't live by bread alone. Well, we know that manna means what is it? And we know Jesus in the book of John said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the true manna that came down from heaven. And we know in the book of Psalms, the people said, can God prepare a table even in the wilderness? And we know the answer is, yeah, if he wants to, he can. And so as I was contemplating these things today, and well, this whole week, but this morning also, the Lord was speaking to me and saying, sometimes I bring you into a place that looks hard, Karen, a place that looks like want and that looks like desolation and loneliness. But it's so that you will look up for that true bread of heaven and you will receive from me what only I can give. You know, you can go out and you can get all the grain you want and you can grind it into flour and you can make it into a loaf, but you haven't satisfied the real thing inside. Only I can do that. Only by looking up where the rain falls, where the bread fell from heaven, can I ever satisfy the true longing of your heart. And Jesus understood that. And of course, we do too with our minds. But he just reminded me of it again anew this week, that I don't live by physical bread alone, by what my own works, what my own actions, what my own supplies look like they are providing. He has creative means that I have access to. And he, just a few verses above that verse in the book of Mark, it says, children receive the bread. And the Syrophoenician woman said, but at least I could get a crumb. We're the children of God. We receive the bread. And it's not just healing. That's what it was in that place with that woman. But it's all the blessings of God. It's all the goodness of God, all the abundance, the prosperity, the supply, the nourishment. It's all those things. The end.
Amen. Good, good, good.
Praise the Lord. This kind of goes along with that. I was talking to somebody this week who was going through something that was pretty tough, and I was sharing exactly kind of like what we were talking about this morning about God's faithfulness and his promises. And, you know, they had this, yeah, I get it, you know. The one thing that's really important whenever we're going through those trials and faith building and when we're in the desert is to be grateful for the manna. And I don't know who coined the phrase, but I started saying it. It's a gratitude check, like attitude. It's a gratitude check. Because in the spirit of gratefulness, all those thoughts that you're taking capture from, like, why am I not getting the crumb? Why can't I just get anything? Why, God, I know you're faithful, but where the gratitude is what leads to the promise. So whenever I become grateful for the manna, the promised land is right there.
Bless the Lord. Good. It's always good to gather. Get together. Let God just do what God wants to do. Amen. Sunday, the last Sunday of this month. Oh, you have something else? You have a dollar? I'm just kidding.
The people who came to that little class I did on Hebrew already know this, but I just want to remind everybody else that the people, if you know Hebrew, you know the H, the He, is the breath. It's symbolic of the breath of God. So when God changed Abram's name, he put the breath of God into his name.
Okay, the last Sunday of this month, September 28th, we're going to have another unity gathering right here. So put that on your schedule. It's in the bulletin, but it said the 21st. Okay. It may say the 21st in the bulletin, but it's Sunday the 28th, the last Sunday of the month for for a unity gathering at 6 p.m. Sunday night. Amen? Doing well? Yeah, we're going to do it right. We'll do it right here. Glory. Bless the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me? Glory. I know today's, you know, football Sunday, and I just saw this shirt. Just because it's New York Jet green, it doesn't really mean anything, but I just saw it in the closet and put it on. Glory be to God. Father, I thank you so much, God. We thank you together. It is such an honor and a privilege to be your sons and daughters in your house. God, thank you for all that you are, all that you've done, are doing, will do. God, we just surrender to you. We surrender everything. We surrender every area of our life, our whole, complete life to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this congregation, Lord, for their warriors, their sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Their thermostats, when they go to work, when they go to school, they change the atmosphere. God, I pray that you would give them words to speak and to decree, Father, wherever they're at, in their families. For every marriage here to be united, God, the way you've created it and designed it to be. Healing in every area, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, in Jesus' mighty name. Have your way in us and among us, Lord God. And may everything that we do and everything that we say bring glory to your holy name. And amen. Have a wonderful day.